Well, our text this morning will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Little cute little title there. When duty calls, don't hang up. When duty calls, you don't hang up the phone. And so beginning with verse 12, 1 Corinthians 9, 12, Paul is writing this. And by the way, Paul before this was talking about he could get his livelihood met by the churches, that the churches really owed it to him. And he was saying, I'm not going to take it. And he told why he wasn't going to take it. But he said it's good that he could do it. Other preachers do that. So he said, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partakers of the offering of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I've been entrusted with a stewardship. Paul is saying, I have a duty to do it, even if I don't get a reward. It's my duty to preach the gospel. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And so then what is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. Father, thank you this morning for our service already. Thank you for Doug and his testimony concerning his children, concerning his son. And Father, thank you for everybody that's here today. Lord, it's a glorious day. It's a wonderful day to worship you. It's a wonderful day to be in your presence. It's a wonderful day to have your word that we can look at and grow in grace and knowledge and be strengthened by it. And so, Father, I pray today as we hear this message that, Lord, I might just be like a microphone, but the message really is coming from you. And so, Lord, let us hear from heaven today. Let us hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. And then, Lord, help us to be obedient to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. When duty calls, don't hang up. Don't you hate to talk to an answering machine? In fact, I'll just tell you this. If I call your phone and it goes to an answering machine, about 99 times out of 100, I'm not going to leave a message. And the reason is, if I leave a message, then I got to wait for you to call me back. So I'll just call you back on my time. But sometimes it's necessary to leave a message on an answering machine, right? And other times it means, you know, we have to answer those things. Some people use it. Some people abuse it. I have known of people who have told me that when they're on call with their jobs and they've got an answer machine, that the boss might call and then they'll say, well, you know, I just never did get that call Monday morning. And so they kind of use that excuse to screen themselves. But I was reading a Consumer Reports last night, and it was talking about the robocalls. Everybody's got a robocall if you got a phone. And in fact, it said in 2019 there was 58.5 million robocalls in the United States. Now, I got a large portion of that. I don't know about you, but you know, we got a lot of them. If I wasn't getting them, Lee was getting them on her phone. But you know, we don't like to answer those things. In fact, I started getting some lately because I quit answering them. You quit answering them. But I started getting one, and it says telemarketer. I thought, wow, they're being honest. I still didn't answer it. I said, good, I don't even have to bother with it. It says telemarketer. I know I didn't want to talk to them. And so I got three or four of them. I finally said, well, if they're that honest, I'm just going to find out who it is. And so I answered it. And it was the NRA wanting to know how I felt about gun rights and all that stuff. I said, hey, I'm already a member. You don't have to call me. And but I was just surprised that they said that. I remember being down in Cancun one time, and I was going through this big market thing where people buy stuff, and we was going through there, and people would grab you. They'd try to sell you something, and walk along there. And this one guy said, let me rip you off. I said, you're the first honest person I've met today, so I'm going to buy something from you. But we don't like to get this kind of stuff. In fact, we screen calls. We don't answer a lot of them. When I first came to the church, I would call up some of the senior adults, and y'all really hadn't got to know me yet, and didn't know my phone call. And in fact, Martha Flanagan was one of them. And I tried to call Martha. She would not answer the phone. And I said, well, I want to talk to her. I want to set up a time I can go visit with her, you know, because I hadn't met her yet. And so I finally had to get somebody else in the church to call her and say, the preacher's been trying to call you. Answer the phone when you see his number. But we tend to screen stuff. And a lot of times we screen stuff with the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we just don't want to answer it. We get that call and we say, whoa, you know, and we kind of want to put it on hold. We don't want to answer it right then. But we have a duty. When duty calls, don't hang up. When the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, don't hang up. Don't say no to him. He's wanting us to do something. I'm called to be a preacher, but you know, every single one of us have a calling. If you're a Christian, we have a calling of God, and they're all important. In fact, I was sharing with somebody this week, the greatest calling there is to be a servant. People, you know, a couple of apostles or disciples at that time were wanting to be set on the right hand and the left hand of the throne of Jesus when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus said, look, the greatest among you will be the greatest servant. It's service and service for God, no matter what you call to do, is what Jesus looks at the most. So it's not necessarily what we do, it's how we do and who we're doing it for. So there's a duty we have to serve the Lord. It's a moral obligation. Webster's Dictionary says it's a moral obligation, a sense of compulsion. You know, after 9/11, a lot of people signed up to fight for our country and defend our country. Why? Because they had a moral obligation. They loved the country. They loved the next generation. They were fighting for the next generation. They were defending the generation they lived in. They had this duty. In fact, if you talk to a lot of soldiers and ask them about their calling, they say, I have a duty. I have a duty to my country, to my nation, to serve my nation. And so it motivates them to do stuff. Police officers have a duty to protect and to serve. Many of it's written on the side of their police cars when you see them, to protect and to serve. And they go into that to help their communities. They love their communities. And oftentimes they will run into dangerous situations where the rest of us will run the other way because they have this moral duty and love for our country, love for our communities, and they'll do it. Firemen are the same way. Everybody else is trying to get out of the burning building. They'll go in to get people and to come out of the burning building. We saw on news this last week. There was a lady trapped up on a second story, third story, and this captain went in and took his mask off and gave it to the lady and walked her out to get her out. He had a duty and a love for people to get her out. That motivated him. That drove him to do extraordinary things. I noticed, too, on the news, I do watch the news every day. I get tired of it. But anyway, there was an accident this week. There was a lady, you might have saw it, crossed five lanes of traffic, hit the retaining wall, spun around, and a car hit her head on. She was trapped in the car. People began to stop because it began to block lanes. And in fact, her car started smoking. She was in her truck, started smoking, and they knew it was going to catch on fire. And of all things, two guys that worked for a fire extinguisher company stopped to help her. And one of them had a fire extinguisher. They went in and they got her out. She was trapped. The steering wheel had her help. They got her out, drug her across the road, and saved her life. And they were interviewing them lately. I guess their company gave them a plaque, and they said, we couldn't help but do anything else. We wasn't worried about our own lives. We wanted to help. They had a moral duty in their heart and their life to help another human being, and they did it. Paul says, the love of Christ constrains me, or constrain not to hold back, compels me to serve him. It's something that God puts within us. When we get saved, we want to do something for Jesus Christ. I've said it so many times, I never got over being saved. I hope I never do. My life is so much better. It's so much different. It's so much more glorious serving Jesus Christ and living for him than it ever was before that. I wouldn't go back to that old way for anything in the world. Because he changed my life. He changed my soul. And so I love him and I serve him out of love, out of duty, out of gratitude. You take a wife that gets up in the morning time and she gets up. I guess some of y'all still get up and cook breakfast, but if you get up and cook breakfast, you don't necessarily want to. That old pillow holds on to you. You don't want to get up in the morning, but you have a duty to your family and to get up and to cook that breakfast. And I'm sure you smile and all that stuff when you're cooking it. And you got to wash clothes and my wife does a great job of all those things. I love her for it. I appreciate her for it. Because I hope she loves me, the reason she does it. And she loves us being together. And so we do things together like that. A wife particularly will take care of the sick family and the kids. Sometimes it's the husband that helps out. But most of the time it's the wife that does a lot of that because she's there a lot of times. And you think she really just gets in and says, man, I just can't wait to wipe a snotty nose and then they're throwing up and all that. No, it's her duty. It's her love for that child that causes them to do something beyond the ordinary or beyond what you'd really like to do. You see, sometimes things we do for Christ are not easy. They're difficult. We get in uncomfortable situations. We were talking that in Sunday school this morning. But we have a duty to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he saved us and redeemed us, to get out of our comfort zone sometime and do things for Christ when we don't feel comfortable doing it. We have a moral obligation, I'd say a spiritual obligation, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if we keep our mind fixed on Christ, it helps us overcome a lot of that stuff. I said before when I did a lot of mission work and trying to get folks to go on mission, they didn't want to get out of their comfort zone. What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? Where am I going to sleep? They're worried about all that. So who am I going to talk to? And I've always found out when you go on trips like that, I don't care what you plan, things are going to change, so you might as well learn to be flexible. But sometimes God changes it for his purpose. And if we can get to a place, I'm doing it out of love for Christ. It's my duty to serve him and to love him and to serve him out of my duty. Paul talked about it. He said, well, I got a right for y'all to support me. But Paul had this obligation. He didn't want anybody to say he was preaching for personal benefits or for money. You probably don't know this, but most of us preachers have a horror of y'all thinking we're preaching for money. That's the last thing. I've pastored several churches, there's only been one in my life that I changed and I got a little bit more money than the others. Most of the time I got less money when I changed and went, but I felt God was leading me to do that. And a lot of preachers feel that's the reason a lot of times we don't like to talk about money because, oh, you're just trying to get money, you're just trying to get money. No, it's not that. I'm trying to get you to get the blessings of the Lord. That's what we want to do. It's our duty to serve the Lord with gladness. Paul says, I have rights, but my duty is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, he says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's the Old Testament. Fear God. That was a holy respect for God. Respect God. Adore God. Respect him. And then keep his commandments. Well, Jesus changed it up a little bit in the New Testament. Instead of saying fear, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So now it's not, don't be terrified of the Lord, but you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. You love him because I love him. I want to keep his commandments. I want to serve him. I want to do what he's calling me to do. And sometimes it's by fear and trembling. I like that song, Confidence. Sometimes we need confidence, like Daniel in the lion's den, because it may not be a lion, but to us it can be overwhelming. I just show you what I mean. If I called on some of y'all to get up and give a testimony right up here right now, your knees would probably be knocking. Some of you would. It's that fear and trembling. Yeah, I'm getting amens in the back. I've said before, when preachers used to sit on the pulpits, we had chairs up here and people would come up to talk or sing or whatever. I have watched many a person's knees actually knock together when they was trying to sing. Nobody else saw it but me. And it was entertaining. But you know what? Even with that fear and trembling and knees knocking, they did it. Why? Because they loved the Lord. And they wanted to use the gifts that God gave them. And so we have rights. Paul said, I got rights. But Solomon said, our rights is to fear God and keep his commandments and, love him. It's the whole duty of man. Now that fear can really come in place sometime. Jonathan Edwards, you're probably familiar with him. He had preached that famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He read his sermon word for word. Didn't have good eyesight. He was a professor, also a preacher, had a lantern. He held it up and read it, and he read about hell and people falling into hell, and people got so upset during that service just reading the Word of God that they were holding on to the chairs and crying out and afraid they were going to fall out of the chairs and go into hell. It's the power of the Word. Edwards could have said, look, we don't have good lighting. I'm not going to do it. I don't know this message. I have to read it. I'm not going to do it. But it was his duty to serve God and to do what he had and use the gifts that God had given him to do what he had. Sometimes we don't want to do stuff because, well, I don't have a good gift. Look, one thing I have learned over the years, and I just use pianists and musicians as an example. Now, when I first started out, when I was young, my mother wanted me to play the piano, so I took piano lessons. And I quit. So I can't play the piano today. And so I tried to trombone. And they wanted me to quit when I tried to trombone. But you know what? Those folks like Judy, Myron, others, Bonnie, that if they started out, but they kept going and they kept going and they kept. Their mothers and dad might have shut the door too while they was practicing when they first started. But they kept doing it until they opened the door and said, hey, that's pretty good. And they kept playing and they kept playing and they kept playing. Now for years now, they've been serving God and glorifying God and blessing the church with the talent. Same thing with teaching. First time I ever preached on Wednesday night, I studied all day long. I took off work, studied all day. Pastor was going to be out of town. He asked me to have the Wednesday night prayer service. I told everything I knew in 15 minutes. And I was embarrassed because I really wanted to do good. And it really bothered me, but they recorded that message. And I spoke to them, and I was in seminary. I was in Bible college. And I got that tape out one day. It's back when we had cassette tapes. And I played it, and I said, you know, it wasn't that bad. I just thought it was. But I kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and I kept doing it. And for over 39 years now, I have been doing that. And you know what? When God gives you a gift, you have to develop that gift. He may give you the gift of teaching or singing or music or whatever or soul winning. And we start off, we shaky with it. But it's our duty. It's our duty to keep on keeping on using what God has blessed us with, because he will bless it and grow it and multiply it. It has to be watered and nourished. And then one day he looks, boy, that was an awesome teacher. That was an awesome musician. It's an awesome singer. It's an awesome soul. How did they get there? They didn't get there the first day. It was their duty to keep going. Sometimes we won't do it because we're just afraid of whatever. You know, sometimes it's not easy, me as a preacher, to witness to somebody. I get in situations where it's not comfortable, just like you do. But you know what? It's my duty. It's my duty to do it. It's your duty to do it. We get in places we are uncomfortable. But when we look past that situation and look at the love of Christ and see what God has redeemed us from and done in our lives, that duty, that obligation, that spiritual obligation kicks in, and we want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people that today we've got this group called nuns. They just dropped out of church. They want none of the church anymore. They just think they can do it okay on their own. That's totally unscriptural. Because you read the Word of God says we need each other. We're not supposed to fail to assemble together. We're supposed to come together. Somebody said, well, God didn't say us to go to church. Yes, he did. He certainly did. The Word of God says, do not fail to assemble yourself in the house of God, as some people are doing, even in Paul's day. You know, we need each other. And he said that because he was talking about the light of the second coming, how things are going to get difficult, and we need each other. Things are getting difficult in America and around the world. We need each other more. We need to encourage each other, pray for one another, lift each other up. And so Paul could have talked about, I got my rights, you ought to support me. I don't have to go out and be a tent maker. But Paul said, I don't want anybody accusing me of having a wrong motive of serving the Lord. And so Paul started off talking about his rights, but he changed over to his duty and his obligation and his love for the Lord. And so what about my responsibilities? Paul said, well, I've got a responsibility in verse 16 and 17. He says, for I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. He said, the necessity I have being a Christian and I've been called, he said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And he said, if I do it willingly, I got a reward. That's the better thing. Do it cheerfully. Love the Lord cheerfully. But he said, if I don't, and I don't really want to do it, but I do it, it's my duty. It's my duty. You heard me say many, many times, little old statement, action precedes the feeling. Action precedes the feeling. What does that mean? That means when you don't feel like doing something for the Lord, you got more, I just don't feel led to come to church today. I just don't feel. You said, well, you're the preacher, you got to go, you know. Sometimes we say, I don't feel led. But when we do it, we say, thank God I did. Thank God I made the effort. Thank God I got out of that bed. Thank God I came and met with you and fellowship with you. And what a great day it is. We have a. Sometimes we just have to say, it's my duty. When I don't feel like it, I've got to do it anyway. I got to make myself do it because the love of Christ calls me, compels me to serve him and do things otherwise I wouldn't ever do. I'm doing things today I would have never, ever, ever done if Jesus hadn't saved me and called me. He called me to preach and to serve, but he called every single one of us to do something in the kingdom of God. We're part of the kingdom. And every single one of us are important to the Lord. Now, suppose I got on an airplane at Atlanta. I'm going to fly down to Miami. And I'm sitting there and I buckle up and I get ready. I said, man, I just strain as hard as I can to overcome gravity. And I don't overcome it at all. That pilot shows up, sharp looking outfit, and puts his hat on. He gets behind that pilot seat up there and he knows how to fire up the plane. He knows how to drive the plane. He knows how to take it off. All of a sudden, with the skills he has, he overcomes gravity. He does something I couldn't do. And Paul kind of says similar things. That he said, the spirit of law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, the power of Jesus Christ in my life helped me overcome those sins that I struggled with for so long. I couldn't do it on my own. But he set me free. When the Son sets you free, we're free indeed. Amen. We have a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, why were you set free? So you could just do what you want to do? You can please yourself? Go where you want to do what you want? No. He set us free that we might serve him. And he didn't want us to serve him out of bondage. He wanted us to serve him out of love. The love of Christ. The love. I hope when you got saved, you just fell in love with Jesus. That just motivates everything. That changes everything. And some days you get up and you won't feel like doing things for Jesus. I don't care if you're a preacher, missionary, singer, I don't care who you are. Some days the old body just don't feel like it. But you say, you know, I've got a duty. I've got to teach Sunday school today. I got to sing today in the praise team. I tell you what, these folks that come in about 8:15 on Sunday morning singing the praise team, we enjoy. That pillar tries to grab them every Sunday morning, keep them at home, I know. But they have a duty. They want to serve the church. They want to serve the Lord. And they get up and make the effort. And sometimes they have to drag the kids with them, get them out of bed, so they can come and serve the Lord. But we all have to go through that. There's resistance all the time. The world wants to resist you. Your job will resist you. Everything will try to resist you to keep you serving the Lord. You just read when in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel tried to go out of Egypt and worship the Lord, Pharaoh did everything he could and tried to get them to compromise every way he could. So, well, you can go, but don't take your kids. You can go, but don't take your possessions. The world's not going to help you serve the Lord. We have an obligation and a duty to Jesus Christ. We're overcomers. And we have to have confidence in the Lord. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the power of the gospel. I live because of Jesus Christ. I used to live a different life, but I got a new life now. It's a life that I'm energized by the Spirit of God. I've got a new hope within my life. This whole world's going to pass away, but brother, we're not. We got a new home waiting on us. Amen? And it's going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul said, woe is me. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe is me if I don't do what God called me to do. I don't think it just goes to preaching. I think that goes to us as Christians. Woe is us if we don't do what God has redeemed us and called us to do and called us to serve him. And Paul said, a whole lot better if we do it willingly. But if you get up and you don't feel like it, you don't feel good, and you're intimidated, he says, it's your duty to overcome those things and to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not our might, his might. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. God's the one doing the strength. There's nothing we can't do that God's calling us to do. So I'm saying, mom gets up. Doug talked about getting up, staying up early. So mom gets up. She's got a new baby. Oh, she's just thrilled. The parents are thrilled. They just, glory to God, got a new baby in the church today. Praise God. I know y'all thrilled about it. But at 3 o'clock in the morning when that baby wants to get fed, the joy ain't quite there. You know? But the duty is, and she'll get up, and he'll get up, and they'll take care of that child. Why? They love him. And when we love the Lord, it helps us overcome those things that would hinder us and keep us from serving the Lord. So when duty calls, what? Don't hang up. Answer it. Answer. Say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready to serve you. And sometimes, you know, even things around a church are not always easy. And over the years, I've seen the nursery is one area, and ministering with children during worship service, because people don't really like to miss worship service. They'd like to be in a worship service. But it's a duty to the parents and to those little children to try to be a blessing to them and to help them grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so when it's our turn, because we love Jesus, because we love the church, we love parents and children, it's our duty to do that, and we do it willingly and joyfully because it's a blessing to our lives. And it's a blessing to the church, a blessing to those families. You know, it's kind of a joke, but a lot of nurseries, we don't have it on ours. I've seen it. And you know, the scripture when Paul says, we shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. And they put that on there. They won't all sleep, but they're all going to be changed. But we're going to be changed one day. And I hope you really got changed when you got saved, because you should be a new creature in Christ. Born again. Different. A child of God. New hopes, new desires, new direction, new love in our heart like we've never had. Because Jesus comes in. When he comes in, he changes us. He changes. He makes us new. Makes us whole. For many, many years, over the years, I've been pastoring. Before I was pastoring, I used to do bus ministries and go out and try to reach people and get them to come, families to come. It was mostly children. And I would ask them about coming to church. We did the bus ministry. I said, well, I didn't pick you up. And some of them would just say, no, I'm not interested. Man, but most of them, they wouldn't tell me that. They just, well, they say, I'll try. Maybe I'll try. And so I learned that, started asking these questions when somebody said, well, I'll try to come. I said, you try to get up this morning? I said, yeah, I did. You make it? Yeah, I did. I said, you try to get dressed? I said, yep. I said, you did that. I said, you try to eat breakfast? Yeah, I did that. You try to go to work? Yeah, I did it. I said, well, it seems like everything you try to do, you do it. I said, so if you try to come to church, apparently you can do it, because everything you try to do, you're able to do it. If you try to serve the Lord, we can do it, because he empowers us to do it. We don't do it alone. And he puts the love in our hearts. I mean, as a parent, I'd do anything for my kids. You know, and Jesus has already done the most important thing he could possibly do for us, is to die for our sins and to redeem us and to show his love for his kids, his love. And so sometimes we serve God willingly and joyfully. It's our duty. Sometimes it's more difficult because we face circumstances or we struggle with things. It's still our duty. And so when God is laying on our heart, calling us to do something. And sometimes as we mature as Christians, he don't have to give us a new call. He's already called you. And we know things we're supposed to be doing. He don't have to get up and say, tap, you're supposed to go visit today. Tap, you're supposed to witness something. No, all those things are just part of the life of a Christian. Do we love the Lord? When duty calls, don't hang up. Why? Because Jesus is the one that's really doing the calling. And so we don't always feel led to do the things that we do. But if we try, with God's help, we can do it. When duty calls, Say, Lord, I'm not only going to try, Lord. With your help, I'm going to do it. And you know, before I got saved, I struggled about how to get saved. And I'd heard preachers preach. I'd never done anything about it. It was hard when we stood up to sing. I held on to the back of the pew. My knees was kind of shaking a little bit. I didn't want to go down in front of everybody. I didn't want to admit I was a sinner, but I was. I thought I was a pretty good person, but when I heard the word of God that night, I realized I was not, because I wasn't like Jesus. I fell way short. And so with fear and trembling, Lee, myself, and our daughter, we all went forward. All got saved. I didn't know God was dealing with them. And you may be sitting to somebody, and they don't know God's dealing with you this morning. But if he is, he loves you. He loves you. My goodness, he died for you. He don't want to hurt you. That's a devil's lie. Oh, if I get saved, I'm going to give up all these things. Look, you're giving up things not to get saved. You're giving up eternity. You're giving up heaven. You're giving up a blessing with the Lord. You're giving up forgiveness of sins. And so if the Holy Spirit's calling on you this morning, Fanny Crosby sung that song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, while others thou art calling, don't pass me by." Is God speaking to your heart this morning? Is he saying to you this morning, you know the preacher's been telling you the truth because it's really God's word that's been saying it. You need to be saved. You like the pilot, you like the person in the airplane. You can't take off by yourself. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin in your life. And you can do that if you really, really mean it. You really, really want to be saved today and God is dealing with your heart. You can open your heart, your life to him, and you can pray what Paul says if we would confess with our mouth that the Lord Jesus, that means you really believe he is Lord. And you believe it in your heart that he died for your sins. You really believe it and you want God to come into your life and save your soul. If you'll pray that prayer and mean it in your heart, God will save your soul, because he says if you'll do something, he'll do something. If you mean it and you trust him, he'll save your soul. That's not save John Terra's way or the Baptist way. That's the Bible way. When you open your heart to Jesus Christ, that's the Bible way. And the Bible way lasts for eternity. And so we're going to bow. If you've never prayed that prayer, I'm just going to briefly lead you through it. You can pray it right there. You can pray it between you and the Lord right now. If you really mean it, you really want to be saved, God will save you. I was sitting in the pew and got saved. Lee was sitting in the pew and got saved. How many of you raised your hand was sitting in a pew and got saved? God spoke to your heart and got saved. Anybody besides us? Look at the people sitting in a pew and got saved. You can get saved anywhere that God's dealing with you and you open your heart to him. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man, though. There may come a time God will quit calling you. Today is the day you hear his voice. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, if you spoke to somebody here, Lord, they're not saved. Lord, give them the grace, the calling to open their heart to you. Let them realize what a danger they're living in. And open their heart and just, Lord, help them to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. And I know I really deserve hell because of my sins. But Lord, I believe with all my heart you died on the cross for me. For me, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you to forgive my sins and to cleanse me. Come into my life, Lord. I want to be born again. And I want to live for you. And Lord, I do this with fear and trembling, but I do it by faith in you. In Jesus' name.